Okay, this is Pam Taggart with the Nebraska Department of Education again. I think we'll go ahead and get started out of respect for everybody's time because I know we're all kind of busy and trying to get things done before people start leaving on vacation. So I've got Kathy Bosshart, and Kathy Heskin in the room with me here, and I think that shortly... we may do some shuffling around a little bit with the agenda, so bear with me. First thing we're going to do, though, is just kind of do that roll call thing. I know it's a pain, but it helps us to know what information we've given out to people. So Amy Shane, Anna Uden, Barb Voigt.
I'm here.
Bev Lobby, Bob Hastings, Kathy Emmerich,
present.
Chris Deloy,
present.
Cindy Rotter Hampson,
yes, I'm here.
Yay. Dan Dandurand,
hello, Pam.
Yay. David Peterson, Tammy Williams.
Tammy is not here. Carol Jean Shirley is in her place.
Oh, could you repeat your name, please?
Carol Jean Shirley.
Oh, hi, Carol Jean. Sorry about
hi.
That.
That's okay.
Okay. And Tori Linneman. Eileen Barks. Heidi Miller. Janet Pavlish.
Janet's here.
Jeff Bacon. Jill Davis. John Glenn. Kate Repass. Kathy Reese.
Yes.
Tim Corgan.
Yes.
Christy Hayes. Lisa Miles.
Yes.
Michelle Hensley. Nancy Fulton. Norm Ronell. Paige Fox.
Yes.
Pat Larson. Peggy Medema, or I always say this wrong. Medema. Scott Schmidt Bonnie. Shane McFeely, Sherry Spalding, Lisa Eske. Okay, that's it for the roll call. Anybody that I missed on there?
Dana Allington.
Oh, yeah, Dana Allington. You're attending for
Ashley Jill Greenwood.
Jill Finke, okay?
Yeah.
And I got on late. Anna Uden.
Okay. Hi. Anyone else?
Norm Ronell, ESU 7.
Okay.
Sherry Schultes, ESU
5. What was that again?
Sherry Schultes, ESU 5.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
I just tuned in. Anybody else what?
Anybody else on the call that missed the roll call?
Pat Larson from Grand Island Public Schools.
Okay. Pat Larson. Okay. All right. So for the agenda, I kind of said at the beginning, I think we're going to do a little flipping around of the agenda, and we've added a couple of agenda items. And one of them I'd like to start with is something we talked about last month, is the ACT report that we were going to put out for school districts. And Kathy Bosshart from our team here has put together charts and graphs, and she can tell you a little bit about it. And also just to let you know that this will be in our bulletin on Thursday. So, Kathy, take it away.
Okay, this is Kathy.
I was last on the call in September, and we kind of were asking questions about what you might like to see, what you need to see, and this is kind of a follow-up and a finishing of that. On the SOSR, we were able to put out the ACT data, I believe, last month. We were able to break it out into English, math, reading, and science, kept the core and less than core, changed layouts of that table and that graph, too. So I hope you've been able to look at that on the SOSR. It is public. It was modeled after some charts and data that was available in the ACT profile report that's available at the national and the state and also the district report that you received. We're able to put that out on the website, and I think this is earlier than we've ever been able to do before. But the other thing we wanted to do is we were talking about benchmarks. Set benchmarks, and in their report, they do a percent of students above benchmark. And we were not able to put that on the SOSR. Didn't feel like it was ready for public release, but we did make it available to you. And we have a new report going out to the NSSRS Validations website. I think it'll be on the download link. It'll be out there sometime today. Like Pam said, it'll be announced in the bulletin tomorrow. This includes all of the benchmark data that we were not able to put on the SOSR. The chart is percent of students above benchmark. And again, it looks just like the ACT report that you receive and the state and the nationals receive. The other thing I was able to put on that report is benchmark, attainment and near attainment. And one of the districts specifically asked for this, and this is a national report that is put out, but it is not put out by state. We were able to put that out by district and school. So you will see that benchmark and near benchmark graph on that report that's going to be available on the validation website today. And again, it's tiered access. You only have access to your district's data. We hope that you'll be able to take this and use this internally at your district, and if you would like, make it available to your public. Were there any questions about the ACT data that went on the SOSR or this new benchmark data that's going out today?
Well, these reports are really exciting, and Kathy's done a lot of work on them. And some of you may have received some emails from me trying to track down some student IDs. Kathy's data is purely the data that we got from ACT based on the class of 2012, and it's the student, the class of 2013, okay. And it is the data that the student told us, or told ACT is their school. So, when we start to put NDE student IDs on students, we may have a few differences here and there, but this report is purely the data that came from ACT, is student-related, but it is by the school that they put as their school when they took the ACT.
And it's also their... Is it their most recent test or their highest test?
I think it's their most recent.
Okay. Again, it's the same data that we always put on the SOSR. We were just able to break it down a little bit further, but it is the graduating class of 2013. It's more junior or senior level tests.
Okay. If there are no other questions... we'll go on to Matt Hastings has come into the office here, and so I have him in person. And he's going to go over, we did provide you a draft of the high school feedback report. So Matt's going to give us kind of an update of where that project is and how it affects you.
Okay. Good morning. Sent out, I believe, a copy of the newer version of the feedback report, and I can tell you there's even a newer version than this that is making the rounds right now, and maybe once we get that completed, we can share that with you and sending a copy of that. But just to give you a little bit of background about the high school feedback report, this is the result of Nebraska's decision to accept the statewide fiscal stabilization funds that were a part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, or the stimulus package. One of the many sort of strings attached to that SFSF funds was an obligation on the state to produce what they refer to as a high school feedback report. Different states have interpreted that to mean different things. We chose a route that in many ways is kind of a graduate feedback report. And so that's what you'll see when you look at the report that we sent out. This report was put together in collaboration with folks at the Department of Education here, but also with insight and information and data provided into our statewide longitudinal data system through the P20 team, which are basically our public post-secondary partners that also submit student-level data into the statewide longitudinal data system. That's how we're able to be able to look a little bit into the post-secondary world and provide the high schools with feedback on how their students are doing. So if you are interested, I'm going to just walk through a little bit what we have here in this report. The first section at the top provides let me start up at the beginning. We expect this report to be released on the 27th of December, which is the end of this month. The multiple rounds of approvals that it has to receive from our post-secondary partners as well as folks here at the department. But that's the target release date for it. This first year, the release feedback will be for students that would have graduated from your high school in the academic year 2010-11. Yeah. And what we do is we try to say, or what the sort of our requirements are, to look at what happens to students that graduate from high school after 16 or roughly 16 months. What we do is we take, we're going to look at the students that graduated from high school, the graduating class, if you will, of the year, back in school year 2010-11, and we basically ask, are they enrolled in college by October 15th of 2012? And so the way we break the report down is first we provide sort of a profile of who those graduates were. Right now it shows us having number of students in cohort and graduation rate on there, but that's been removed because it's a little bit confusing with the multiple graduation rates and the multiple changings of cohort, and really that's not what we're looking at here, and that's not what we're trying to provide feedback on. What we're trying to provide feedback on is just your graduating class. What happens to those students after they leave your schools? So we'll start at the beginning with just the number of graduates from this that you identify. The report will be dynamic, like I said, but this first year, the 10-11 graduating class, we break that down by some general demographic information so you get a sense of who demographically the graduating class was, and also provide some NESA score information for those students. The next step is provide information on the college going rates. We basically identify the number of students that from that graduating class or the profile listed above, number of students that go on to college, giving us an overall graduation rate calculated taking the graduates or the college-going students divided by the total number of graduates. And then we take that college-going rate information and we sort of break it down by percentages. And what we do is we look at the percent of students based on a series of different demographics, whether it be gender, race, and whether or not they enroll in college. So, for example, in the sample report we're looking at, you see female 66%, male 100%. And your reaction might be to say, well, how is it possible to have... but if you read closely, kind of the way this works is it's the percent of female students that graduated from high school that enrolled in college. So it's the percent of the 12 students in the example shown here that ultimately went on to high school. So of all of the female students that graduated, how many went on? In this case, 67%. For males, it's 100%. And we have this broken down by a series of different demographics, but also by program participation information. You can see there. As we move further on time, we'll be able to include some additional program information we don't currently have for the 10-11 graduating class, such as dual credit, career distance learning type information. And moving on to the next section, we have the profile of the college-going graduates. So basically, of those that do go on to college, do they go to in-state schools, out-of-state schools, public, private, two-year, four-year? Are they there half-time? Are they there part-time, etc.? And one of the things that people may be, again, sort of confused about is the notion of full-time, part-time, and both. What happens is, I guess the question would be, how could you be both full-time and part-time? So the reality is post-secondary institutions are submitting student-level information. And so if I am a student who is a full-time student at University of Nebraska at Lincoln, but I'm taking a course, for example, from Southeast Community College, which happens quite a bit, or maybe even the reverse, the University of Nebraska would identify me as a full-time student. Southeast Community College, likewise, would identify me as a full-time student. And so, therefore, I sort of fall into the both percentage. It's not as if they're generally a part-time student. It's a full-time student at some institution also taking part-time credits. So that's how that's sort of explained. The other information on the bottom of the profile of college-going graduate section maybe deserves a little bit of explanation, and that has to do with the students taking remedial courses. This was a data element that was provided specifically as a requirement through the ARRA legislation for this particular report. And it gets a little bit tricky because, speaking, the university system, University of Nebraska system, Lincoln, Omaha, Kearney, obviously, and the state college system do not technically provide remedial coursework. So they don't provide remedial math and they don't provide remedial reading. That's the sort of technical answer. More realistically, I mean, they do provide some remedial coursework, right? They have students that enter their institution, need to catch up on math or catch up on reading or English or position or something. And so... we're not really able to, while some of the institutions provided information whether or not those their students are taking remedial courses, we've sort of been barred from sharing that in a sense because they're not technically supposed to be getting remedial courses. The only remedial course information that you'll find in the report will be from college because they sort of have a... as part of their mission is to provide that type of education. And so that will only be from community colleges, the information about the remedial students. So if you have students that go to the university or state college system, you know, you're not getting a clear picture of whether or not they need remedial support. Finally, the next section, I guess, is the breakdown by in-state college attended. So of the in-state institutions, where did your graduates go? What we do is we list the top 10 from your institution. Again, this is a dynamic report, so this section will look different for one of your schools as for the other, based on where your students go. So if whatever the top school is will appear at the top of the report, and then we'll list the top 10 in rank order, and then we'll have a section of all other colleges where it's aggregated into that particular row. And then finally, we just list any states of outside Nebraska states that they your institution from that graduating class. So that's the idea is, again, to give you sort of a holistic view of what happens to your students after they graduate from high school. The report, like I said, is released on the 27th of December. I can try to answer them. Or any concerns, that would be helpful for us too.
Okay, well, since there are no questions and no concerns, we'll go ahead and let Matt go. And we'll move on to our next agenda item. If you do have any questions or concerns about Kathy or Matt's presentation, you can email me or you can email Dean, or if you have their emails, you can email them so that they can follow up and get back to you on any questions or concerns. So our next agenda item is a proposal we have put together for collecting instructional units. And I know we sent this out kind of late this morning. I was hoping to, I had it ready to go yesterday, but I was hoping to get it out for Matt, to go with Matt's high school feedback report, and that kind of fell apart. So basically what we're thinking of doing is doing a CDC collection for schools that have grades 9 through 12, and with all the courses that are used for instructional units. And so what we would ask you to do then is to put in your minutes per session and sessions per years on those courses. And then we can load that data into a table that is used for eScholar called the course template. So just I know I bounced this off of a couple people on the phone call here. Does anybody have any questions at this point? We were trying to keep it really simple. Go ahead.
Can you describe the sessions per unit? I guess I'm not very familiar with that term.
That would be like whatever the minutes per session would be, that whatever the class period is. So if it's 50 minutes or 45 minutes or 72 minutes, whatever, minutes per session for that class.
Okay.
And then the sessions per year would be, you know, are is that, like, say, for example, Algebra 1, is that offered 177 days? Or if it's a semester class, maybe it's only offered, you know, 89 days, whatever that would be. And you would want to look at what the class content that's being delivered, is that for a year-long class? Even, don't look at what the students are doing because they may be moving in and out. It's the class that is being, the content that's being delivered, you know, what would that be if, you know, what would that look like?
What if the minutes change per day?
You mean change like from, say, semester one to semester two?
No, let's say Monday through Thursday they go 50 minutes, but on Friday they might only go 40 minutes.
Okay. I would suggest in that case putting an average in the minutes per session and sessions per year.
Okay.
We always want, because you can't put the higher number because that would inflate the unit. But if, like, say, for example, if you have an algebra of one class that's for 7th and 8th graders, but you have an algebra one class that's for 9th graders, and say they have two different minutes per session or sessions per year, then you would want to use the one that was for the 9th grade. And you would want to make sure that it's the one, the class that's being offered that has the highest units. So how you calculate units, I think I put that in here, but maybe I didn't. It's minutes per session times sessions per year divided by 900 for the Carnegie unit. Oh, it's down toward the bottom on the first page, on the front page. And I did have a couple questions on the back. I was just wondering, just out of curiosity, because we were trying to figure out when to collect this data. And one of the questions that came up is, when do schools have their schedules finalized for the upcoming year?
Well, CREEP is actually finalized before school is out of the previous year. So once they have all their courses in and registration done, you know, then by the end of the school year, it is finalized, and they're just tweaking kids in and out of those classes over the summer. Otherwise, it is finalized before school's out.
Okay.
The districts I work with, it's anywhere from some of them have finalized as early as maybe April, but then there are some that are still tweaking it the 1st of August.
Ashland Greenwood's not finalized until June.
I would say my district, it's probably by August 1st. They have the schedule finalized, and then they're just moving kids in and out.
So SU typically is done in March or late April, but like this year as an example, we made changes at the high school over the summer and actually added a bunch of sections, which would have changed things. That would be the exception, not the rule, but typically we are done earlier.
Battle Creek is done same time, end of the school year, but we might make changes in August too.
For Millard, I'd say that we probably have it solidified by the first week of August.
Carney is usually done the 1st of May, but if there's a teacher that leaves and they haven't hired yet, there may be one or two courses that change. But that again, is kind of the exception.
Well, looks like in my 1A on the back page of the proposal, we had kind of tentatively proposed to see if we could collect it after August 1st, but before 10/31, so it looks like maybe that would work for most everyone. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. My number two question is, would it help to have the valid courses loaded from the prior year with the ability to add courses? And again, these are with our course codes.
Would you also have the ability to remove?
Yes, yes.
Okay, then, yeah, I'd say that'd be helpful.
Yeah,
I agree.
Pam, do you have the ability to, like, if you preloaded it, could we download it and, you know, make our changes and then re-upload it and have it replace what was there, kind of like how the staff works?
That's what our plan is. I have, let's see, I have that in one of my pieces here to be able to download and upload. I know it's in here somewhere.
Yeah, I think add it up above. I didn't know if we could download and upload. So I think that would be pretty beneficial to some of them that want to compare it or run some queries to figure out what they have or don't have.
Okay.
What happens when we have multiple courses to one of your course code files?
I would suggest using the other course. Again, we're only looking at courses grades 9 through 12. So if you use the same course for grades 7th and 8th, we would want to make sure that you, if you can, to use a course code for grades 9 through 12, a unique one if possible. But if you need to, use the other course codes if needed. And there's like 4 or 5 in each subject area. If you use all, and remember this will be by school, so if you use all of those, you know, then you might have some duplication. But in that case, I would use the higher, the one with the highest instructional units when you report.
Pam, is it safe to say that? Go ahead. Sorry.
What was that again?
Are we going to try to compare this to the grades template that we'll be submitting? I mean, we actually have courses that could be added at any time during the school year. I guess, is this kind of a best guess, or is it going to be mapped to other files?
Okay. Well, kind of be a preliminary one, but what we would need you to do, though, if you did not report a course that you add, we'd need you to add that to the CDC collection. Otherwise, you won't be able to upload that course because we will use these courses as your courses for, well, actually, no, we decided against that. Never mind. Decided against that. We're going to load the course template as we always have, so all the courses will be there. But what we will do is if you wanted to use that for instructional units, you would need to add that to the CDC collection.
So you would only have to add it, though, if you use the state code you hadn't uploaded in the entered in the fall,
right.
Or you added a course that would give you higher instructional units than what you reported in the fall.
Correct.
So adding another section of a course that you've already wouldn't be a reason to change your CDC report. Okay.
And we realize, too, that this first year it might be a little bumpy, but it'll help approval and accreditation with their work. And we were trying to keep it simple. And so I do anticipate, you know, we might have to open CDC collection and, you know, tweak things here and there as we go.
And is this proposed for next fall?
Yes. We talked about trying to do something last year, but we kind of ran too late. And so we knew we had to do something for the 14-15 school year, and this was the easiest thing I could come up with.
Pam, is it safe to say that you could, it's going to follow a lot of the same logic we used to pull the old curriculum report?
Correct.
Pam, this is Barb from Kearney. What do you want us to do when we have one course that may be term block and one may be semester skinny because they're not going to have the same minutes per session or sessions per year? Are you expecting us to create two different courses to accommodate that? Or
no. No. On that, in that case, you would just report the one course code and go with the higher units.
Okay. Because that's the only part that I see that may be difficult for me to pull out of PowerSchool is because that's stored under individual class, not overall course.
Okay. Yeah, no, we would want you to just do the same course code, but then you would use the one that has the higher units.
Okay. So I mean, we may be doing some things manually, or we're going to have to do extra entry to get that.
And I think we'll try to build it like we did, as some, I think it was Anna, suggested, where, you know, you can upload and then you can edit the selection.
Yeah, so it is just like the old curriculum report in that respect.
Yeah, similar.
Okay.
Won't be by teacher. This will just be by course code, by school.
Okay.
Okay, and then my last question is, would you want a validation error on courses that were reported in the CDC collection, but no student grades were reported for that course? So you thought you were going to have that course, but then maybe no students took it?
You can't just ignore us. You ignore the course. You would want us to remove it?
Oh, no, no, no. We just thought, for example, we're going to try, I think number two says we'll create, or not number two. At the bottom, or under number one, we were going to create a preliminary instructional units report for approval and accreditation based on the CDC collection, but then it would be finalized in number two using the student grades data. And so I didn't know if maybe it'd be helpful to say, oh, if we're short in an area, maybe it's because we reported a course in the CDC, then no students took it. Or for some reason it wasn't pulled from your student information system.
I think the error would be fine to add as long as we would have the ability to still edit or adjust the CDC report.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll have it as an error. It might just be a verification report.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
How about going the other way where we didn't report one, but we did have student grade?
Okay. Okay. And two, we'll definitely take an NSSRS validation is something NDE can control. And so if we determine some other reports that would be helpful to you or to us during the year, we can definitely add those. But again, we would add them as verification reports, not errors, trying to not add errors unless they really are errors.
Pam, would there be a verification report that would tell you if you were short, like in math or something like that?
Yeah, in the preliminary report, it'll tell you, like, you know, for example, they'll take the courses that you put into the CDC and we'll come up with a preliminary instructional units report. And so it'll be look like the old instructional units report. By subject area, and then certain subjects have certain requirements for courses. I think, for example, under science, a requirement is biology and chemistry. Well, anyway,
so we could look at that before the email gets sent to the superintendent.
I will make a note of that, though. I think it will be delivered as a verification report in NSSRS validation. So I don't think there will be anything sent to the superintendent until after the student grades is done.
Okay.
So I'm going to make a note here. Do not send to superintendent until reviewed by data steward. Or data team, whatever. Okay, make a note of that. Okay? Are there any other? If you think of anything after looking this over and you have some other ideas, we'll definitely take it. I really appreciate the people who I talked with about this proposal helping me come up with it. And then I also visited with Jill and her team about how to try to make this as easy as we could, and still give approval and accreditation what they needed. Are there any other questions? Okay. The next one is NSSRS validation reports, report sorting. And Jill is working on a unique ID problem, and so she asked, she said all she really, gist of her topic was, do you guys prefer your reports in school number order or school name order for the validation reports?
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Hearing no specific or I don't hear any people getting crazy over one way or the other. I'll ask her if there's an option where you could do one or the other. I guess currently they're displaying most often by school number. So I'll just tell her there wasn't a lot of buzz on that topic. Okay, the next topic is the CDC read-only review update. This had come up, I think it was last meeting, and Sue Martin, who developed the CDC, is working on this project. So hopefully we'll have that by next fall. But with some of the other projects, like our instructional units thing, it might not be put as, I think the instructional units will be a higher priority than that. But she has already started working on it. So hopefully we'll have that for you this fall for the 2014-15 school year. Okay. One other topic that, since we have a little time here, that we added that I wasn't sure we'd have time for is yesterday the steering committee that deals with staff and course information met, and there was some discussion about whether we needed to have elementary course codes. And I was wondering how you guys felt about that. Is that something you think we should add to our course taxonomy? And again, if there's somebody else in your on your team that maybe would be better to comment on this, if you could forward this question to them and have them get back to me, that would be great. But there was some discussion about adding some elementary course codes to our course taxonomy to make it less confusing for school districts. We really don't need that level of detail at the elementary level, but if it makes it easier for you guys, then maybe, you know, we should do that.
What would be more difficult?
That'd be more difficult, I would guess.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot more to do that.
You know, now that we have it set, you know, we've kind of got it all entered, most of us, I don't see it being an advantage.
Okay. Okay, any other comments? And again, if you want to email me about that, that's fine. It was just something that came up, and I thought, well, we're on the phone, and if we have time, I thought I'd bring it up. Are there any other questions or comments about any other data items that we talked about today?
Pam, this is Paige Fox. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are you planning on meeting with any of the vendors on the new CDC report to see if they're going to be able to come up with something for their users?
Definitely. We're just, as you can imagine, preparing for the 14-15 school year, and we do always try to meet with the vendors, we've often tried to do it before the data conference, but I think last year it was after the data conference. So we'd like to have everything new for 14-15 in, you know, at least underway by the data conference. Do you think, Paige, that we should try to meet sooner than later with the vendors?
Just, you know, just because of the developers and the process that has to happen to get these reports, sometimes that's not enough time to get it out there.
Okay.
And even, you know, a file layout of what you are trying to, you know, get in the new CDC report would be helpful.
Okay.
Get them started at least and make them aware of it, and then you can finalize it, which it's easier to tweak it as opposed to starting fresh and creating it in April.
Okay. I'll work with Sue Martin and see what we, and Jill, and see what we can do to try to meet or try to get that meeting set up before the data conference.
Well, I think, you know, it's been a while since we've done the curriculum report, so your vendors may not have people who are even familiar with it.
Okay.
This is Wayne Weens, and I agree with Paige. The sooner the better. It's as soon as you have that information and you kind of have an idea of what you want, get it to them if you can.
Okay. Okay. Are there any new items that we should add to our agenda, or if you want us to research before our next meeting? Okay. Well, I just wanted to let you know that this is Kathy Heskett's last meeting with
you
us.
You all have fun in 14-15.
She's be leaving us for retirement the end of this December, and so we wish her well, but we know we're going to miss her a lot. So I wanted to give you an opportunity if anybody wanted to say.
I've talked to a lot of them.
You talked to a lot of them? Okay. Or you might want to drop her an email or, you know, call her. You probably all have her number, too.
well,
anyway, we wish her well.
She probably won't miss us.
No, I really will, you guys. I will miss you.
Our next meeting I set for January 8th because our meeting would have been January 1st, and I don't think any of us are here. Do you know of any conflicts with that date?
It works for me. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll plan on meeting January 8th then. And you guys have a great holiday, and some of us will be here holding down the fort, so the help desk will have people here, and I think I'll be here most of the time. So, but hopefully you guys actually get to take a holiday vacation and stay safe and enjoy your family and friends over the holiday. Thank you.
Pam?
Thank you.
Yes?
This is Carol Jean Shirley from Millard.
Yes.
Is it possible that I could be added to the email list that you send the agenda to? Because I usually have to get it forwarded to me from Tammy, and I didn't get one this time.
Sure. I will have you added to the list.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Have happy holidays.
Happy holidays to everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.